Well, we continue our series on prayer, but there's a couple things I want to kind of clean up house on before we move on. And how many of you participated watching the Super Bowl last week? Anybody? A few of you. I'm sure many of you who were interested in the Super Bowl, you heard about the huge mix-up with 400-plus people not even getting seats that had paid for tickets and everything. Well, I read on the AP this story about this one older woman who was 50-yard line. Great seats, two seats, something like 20 rows up. And this guy comes along in the first quarter because the seat next to her is open and, you know, is asking her about why the seat is open. And she had mentioned that she and her husband had gone to every Super Bowl since the first one and always had, the choice of tickets. But her husband recently died. And the guy went on and said, well, couldn't you find somebody to come? I mean, this is probably one of the best seats in the whole stadium. And you didn't have a son or daughter or a brother, sister, nephew, somebody, friend who could come to the Super Bowl with you? She said, no, they're all at the funeral. Be careful what you pray for. The whole title of our sermon comes from Luke 11:1, because when Jesus had finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his followers to pray. And so now I'm going to jump over to Matthew, the parallel verse to this, where Jesus says, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, help us to honor your name. Come and set up your kingdom so that everyone on earth will obey you as you are obeyed in heaven. Give us our food for today. Forgive us for doing wrong as we forgive others. Keep us from being tempted and protect us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever. Amen. And that's the parallel verse in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. But I want to give you the rest of the story because, you know, most of you, if you are a Christ follower, you've heard somewhere along the way the Lord's Prayer. Not exactly that version of it, because that was a contemporary English version. But I want to put in context, just like Pastor Bob did last week, and, you know, the Jeremiah 29:11, the scripture we use all the time, for I know the plans I have for you. When you put that whole thing in context, it gives a whole new meaning. And I think the Lord's Prayer does the same thing. And so going on in the next verses following that, it says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door's locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed, I can't help you. But I'll tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he'll get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. These are the texts that follows the Lord's Prayer. Basically, I hear Jesus saying to me, you give up too soon. You don't really want it bad enough. And I even bring up the Super Bowl because, you know, wanting it bad enough is always on display in athletic teams. I mean, you can always pick out the team that's given up. They're usually the team, well, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who finally won their first basketball game last night after 26 losses in a row. Let me tell you what, I know what that's like. My sophomore year in high school, I played on a basketball team. We were 0-4 whatever. We never won a game all season. Now, I'll tell you why. Okay, you see how tall I am, right? I was playing center. And I'm guarding guys who are 6'6", 6'7", you know. And So, but boy, could we run. Our coach was so ticked at us all the time. All we did was run. Ran lines. We were in the best shape of any team in the league. We ran circles around. We just couldn't shoot. So, those who want it bad enough, they go and they go and they go. In basketball, that's the guy who's in the gym or the girl who's in the gym shooting 100, 200 free throws after practice. It's the quarterback who's out there after practice continuing to throw routes to receivers. They want it, and they keep at it. And that's what Jesus is saying in these verses. And what I want to share with you this morning is that prayer develops a belief in the unseen. You heard Pastor Bob just refer to it during our prayer. We believe in the unseen. You know, every time I get a little discouraged that there's not a lot of people here, I got to think, well, wait. There's twice as many here right now as you can visually see. Because your guardian angel's hanging out with you right now. So we've got twice as many beings in this sanctuary right now than we think we do, or than we can see we do. And I know that's true because the Bible tells me so. As simple as it can get. And so our prayer life develops this belief in what we can't see. So, 2 Corinthians 4:18. You've heard these texts before, but I believe in the Nehemiah principle. You need to hear them at least once a month. Okay? That's what Nehemiah teaches. Because as they were building the wall, after 27 days, they got discouraged, and Nehemiah had to get back up on the wall and say, remember, here's why we're here, this is what we're doing, and this is what's going to happen. And so it's called the Nehemiah principle, where you get to hear it once a month. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. We got to believe that. Because when you start believing that, materialism doesn't become as important in your life as it used to. Your job and the benefits that your job can bring you is not the most important thing in this world. Here's another text in Luke 17, verses 20 through 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. We got quite a bit of heaven right here on earth, y'all. Because the creator of the universe is within you. And as we grab hold of that and have over the last couple of years, and we believe that God's presence is in all people here on this earth, because all people are created in the image of God. All people have the breath of God in them. And so God's presence is in them. And the Bible teaches that, that God is in all. Now, I've got people who come to me and then say, well, wait a minute. Then what is the difference between saved and those who are pre-saved, or those that we used to call the lost? Do you know, by the way, that those who we call the lost don't like being called the lost? Okay? It's kind of like before GPS and your dad or your husband or your brother was driving and driving and driving and wouldn't stop for directions because they knew how to get there and driving and driving. They didn't know they were lost. You knew they were lost, ladies. But they didn't know they were lost. Well, in some cases that may be true. But I want to share with you another one of the wonders of the universe. Okay? And I can't explain it. I can't explain the whole concept that God is in us. You know, it just, because most of my adult life I was raised with the idea that the only one God is in is the one who is saved, the one who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the rest of those heathens out there, they got nothing going in them, except maybe the opposite spirit in them. But when we finally started digging a little bit deeper in the Bible, we saw that the Bible didn't teach that. But here's something else that I want to present to you this morning that's going to kind of blow your mind already also. Remember, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is within you. So we have a little bit of heaven here on earth. All right? Check out this verse in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6. Hello, our scripture this morning. But God, being rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Reminder, by grace have you been saved. And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, grab on here. This is complex, but yet it's so amazingly simple. So what we're telling you is that God is in us. And what this scripture right here is telling me is that we are in Christ. Now, where is Christ this morning? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Hey, y'all, you're sitting at the right hand of God the Father this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a little bit of earth in heaven. Now, I can't explain it. I don't know how the Godhead does this thing. I don't know how God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ has us be in him and him in us, but it's a two-way street. And you need to understand that because it just unlocks so many things in your life. When you can understand that everybody walking around out there has the presence of God in them. Most of them aren't aware of it. They don't know. And part of our job is to help them become aware of it. Because when you start looking for that God's presence in them, you can find it. And you can affirm it. And you can say, whoa, that's really cool. Did you know that all good things come from God? Because that's what the Bible teaches. All good things come from God. And you know what? Not only that, because when you start becoming aware of that relationship with God, and you do accept that relationship with God, and you do come into relationship with God, you are in Christ Jesus. Hey, the Bible says he went to the cross with you on his mind, with you in his heart. And so I guess it only makes sense that he took us with him in heavenly places. Now, faith assures us, Hebrews 11:1, of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. I cannot see visibly the presence of God in you. But I know he's there because I believe it, because the Bible teaches it. I cannot visibly see us sitting at the right hand of God the Father. You know, come on, y'all, look up to your left. There's the Father right there. We're sitting at the right hand of God. I can't see that. But the Bible tells me it's so. Because we're in Christ Jesus. It didn't put it in future tense. You guys, I know some of you are sitting there, boy, what did he eat this morning? Or worse, what's he been smoking? It's not past tense. It's not future tense. It was in the present tense. And I know tenses because I'm very tense. But I also teach past tense, present tense, and future tense. And that scripture was in the present tense. So, when you pray, here's the stuff that kind of goes on. When you pray, you know, bring prayer to the Lord, it shows your passion for the presence of God. And the more passionate you become about God in you and you in Christ, the more alive your prayer life becomes, the more things you have to talk with him. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He was passionate about connecting with his Father. You know, and the other thing prayer does, and I love this serenity prayer, because this is what it's all about. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Oh, that's so hard. It's so easy to read it and put it in print, but it's so hard to have absolutely no control. Courage to change the things I can. You know, every once in a while, we got to take a stand. You got to take a stand. If there's something going on in your circle that you know is wrong, you got to take a stand. And God gives you the courage to do that and wisdom to know the difference. Now, you know what? Sometimes when you take a stand, it's not going to change anything anyway. But guess what? You're still called to take a stand. What changes or not changes, that's in God's hand, that's in God's timetable, but you're still called to take a stand. There's nothing, and that develops our dependence on God when we go to prayer with the serenity prayer. And you don't have to recite it. You don't have to memorize it. See, that's the whole thing. There's nothing magical about prayer. There's not this ritual you got to go through to make sure your prayers are answered. There's no recipe, no formula. And when the Lord's Prayer was given as an example, people have taken that literally and they say, this is the prayer we got to pray. It was like in my message thought, and I know some of you related to it. Because as a child, I was taught that prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die, what? If I should die, I'm 4 years old. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Yeah, I look back on it now. What a morbid prayer. But that was the prayer. That was the prayer that we were taught as children. But there's no recipe, no formula. Because prayer is about connecting with God. Prayer is about tuning out the noise. As we demonstrated this morning, prayer is conversation with God. And that conversation can happen if you're standing. That conversation can happen if you're sitting. That conversation can happen if you're kneeling. If you're sitting around food. If you're in a group. Or if you're just one-on-one with someone else. It's conversation. And out of conversation comes compassion, comes interest, comes all the blessings for other people as you have conversation with them. Now, some of us are more conversational than others. Some people we know as being shy, yeah? You know some shy people in your life? I have a handful of them in each of my classes at school. They never talk. You know, I got to ask them a direct question to hear what their voice sounds like. Some of them who don't talk to me for a month or two, all of a sudden puberty has set in, and it's like, whoa, who are you? I don't recognize that voice. But you have conversations with people, and blessings come from that. And sometimes it's just in solitude. Sometimes what is needed most is alone time between you and God. That's what Jesus practiced. That's what Jesus taught. That there's a time for you to get away and just be one-on-one with God. Dallas Willard said, spiritual people are not those who engage in certain spiritual practices. They are those who draw their life from a conversational relationship with God. Benjamin Franklin said, work as if you were to live 100 years, pray as if you were to die tomorrow. And then taking a little liberty with the Nike swoosh. Just do it. Just do it. And whatever benefits come from prayer, the realization of faith, hope, love, the intercession that goes on. And by the way, you cannot say, I don't pray well, Pastor Bob, because the Bible is very clear that even if you just grunt, the Holy Spirit is taking that grunt and it's putting it in the language of heaven. And I don't care, you can think of the person who is the most eloquent prayer that you have ever heard in your life, you know, in its own language in heaven, it would be garbage. Because the Holy Spirit takes even the most eloquent prayer and puts it in the language of heaven. And so he or she who prays the weakest or humblest, however you want to word it, is their prayer is going to have as much or more power as the most eloquent prayer in the world. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And so here's what we're going to do about it. Because of our passion in prayer and learning more about the Bible, is we're going to offer you an opportunity to come together on Wednesday evenings, beginning March 2nd. And we are going to get together at 6 o'clock. We're going to have some tables set up, and we're going to share some food. Now, it's going to be simple food, like soup, bread, soup, salads, whatever. It's going to be simple. And then we are going to have some time to study our Bible. And it's not going to be your normal kind of Bible study. It's going to be, you know what, in the next year or so, we want to read all the way through the Bible. So we're going to start with the New Testament. We're going to start with the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and go through the New Testament. When we're done with that, we'll go through the Old Testament. And we're going to have 1-2 chapters a week, or 3, whatever, that we're, you know, scheduled to talk about the following week. And then we're going to get together. We're going to ask 3 questions. And those 3 questions will be given to you on a bookmark. And every time we get together, we're going to talk about how these books of the Bible, these chapters from the Bible that we just have read, how it impacts me personally. What meaning does it have for me personally? What application does it have for me personally? If you're not getting any personal application out of your Bible readings, we need a tune-up. We need to do something, because the Bible is alive. It is the living Word of God. It connects with God's presence in you. And then one of the other things we're going to ask is, how does this apply and impact our church family? And we want to talk about, okay, what we just read this past week. How does that impact our church family? And then lastly, how does it impact our community? What can we do, what we just read? How can we take this and apply it out there? Those 3 questions. That's going to be the basis of everything we talk about that night. And it's always going to be changing, because we're always reading a different portion of Scripture. And then we're going to have some time to do some of that conversational prayer stuff. And it's okay. If you're shy, you know, how many of you have ever been a part of a prayer circle where it started over there and it just started coming around to you and you're going, oh no, I'm next. What am I going to pray? I mean, and these 6 people before you, they've prayed this 5-minute eloquent prayer, and you may be asleep by the time it gets to you, but you know what? I'm next. What do I pray? No, as you just saw demonstrated this morning, that's not what conversational prayer is about. I love being a part of a group that's just sitting around having conversation. Now, outside the classroom, we don't make everybody raise their hand so they can give their input. You know, when you have conversation, you just interject. You know, I just had a thought. Boom. There's my thought. And when you're in prayer with a group, and it's going to be a small group, we're not going to all kumbaya stand around this big, huge circle in here, and Greg, could you speak up a little bit? I couldn't hear you over on this side of the sanctuary. No, it's going to be groups of 3-4 people. And just bing, 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 bounce off. Because as you pray, I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit is going to be impressing with you with a thought. And please, don't be selfish and keep that thought to yourself. Because if the Holy Spirit is sharing it with you, it's all likely it's with the purpose of, Dennis needs to hear it. So speak it. And you don't have to be long and eloquent. You know, 2 words can give across some thoughts. So, I know everybody's schedules are horrendously busy. But I have been under conviction to do this for a while. And, I'm not going to really count this as a small group. It's just, I'm not going to call it prayer meeting, because it has such a negative connotation with a lot of people. It's just going to be an opportunity. You know, come and eat. Come and talk about what you read in the Bible this past week and just spend a few minutes in prayer. I guarantee you it will not last longer than an hour and a half. If we get really good at this, we might even be able to get down to an hour. Don't want a huge chunk of your time. Don't want your whole evening. But we need to come together as a group of God's people and put our prayers together. There's power. You know, you guys all know what it's like when we have VIP Sabbath here and we've got 150, 200 people sitting in here. Where's the energy level? Is it down here? Is it up here? It's up here. And the same thing is true when you pray. You know, the energy level when you pray alone most of the time is somewhere down here. When you pray with somebody else, it kind of moves up. But boy, you get a group of people all praying together and praying about the same things. Man, boom, 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 boom. It just goes up. And we got reasons and things to pray for. You see them in our bulletin. You can walk through the Early Learning Center after church here and look and just start praying for that room. Start praying for the precious bodies that are going to be in that room in a month. And, you know, pray for each other. Pray for our church. Pray for the church school. Everybody's facing financial difficulties right now. You know, health issues. We baby boomers aren't getting any younger. But boy, we're a healthy bunch. Wednesday, March 2nd, 6 o'clock. Okay, here's the deal. I believe prayer produces awareness. You start praying, you become aware that, whoa, there's something within me. You know, I shared several weeks ago my story of when the altar call was given and how I sat on that very front row on the edge of my seat, and it was all coming from within me, folks. And I started praying, and I started becoming aware that God was calling me, that God wanted me, that I was His. And as all this awareness started becoming upon me, it started producing this faith within me that, you know, maybe I can take God at His word. Maybe God will be good at His word and these things will actually happen in my life. And then that faith started producing this intimate relationship within my life. And that intimate relationship, whoa, went full circle and brought me back to a prayer life. I mean, and if this doesn't work for you in the realm of God, think about somebody in your life, a friend or a loved one, and go through this whole thing. You know, start having a conversation with somebody. When I first met Anita, how you doing? Start conversation. And that conversation started producing an awareness. Well, you're pretty hot. And as that awareness was reflected and returned, it started producing a belief in myself that maybe this can go somewhere. Maybe there is something here. And as that faith started growing, it started producing along the way an intimate relationship. We became engaged, we became married, and our relationship became very intimate. But hello, I didn't stop talking to her on the day I married her. In fact, I got more to talk with her and to her about now than I ever had before we were married. And so it goes full circle. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. See, it's time that we got to start letting our hearts speak. Because I don't know how many, and I hear this all the time. I hear you guys saying how touched you are by the music and that you worship best by music. You know what? That's not an intellectual thing happening there. That's a heart thing. Your heart is speaking. Your heart is crying out to God. And it's through that avenue of music. Don't be afraid of that. Let your hearts speak. Let your heart speak to God, because God is going to listen to your heart. The Holy Spirit's putting it in the music of heaven and the language of heaven. Let's pray. Father God, you know, it's pretty simple to talk about prayer, and we've been doing that for 3 weeks now. But we want it to become more real, more vibrant. We want you to hear the message of our hearts. And so we just come before you because some of our hearts are hurting this morning, Lord. Some of our hearts are full of gratitude. There's so many different places where we are today. But you're God, and you're a big God. And you welcome, you embrace every message from our heart. And so we just pray that the Holy Spirit will take the message from our heart, the message from our minds, and put it into the language of heaven so that you will know how we feel today. And we can continue on this journey of an intimate relationship. We pray your blessing upon each one here today. May your Holy Spirit fill them in a way that they're aware of, and just allow that filling to overflow and just flow out upon those around them this day. They will see that each one of us have been at the right hand of God this morning. To that end, Lord, we praise you, we thank you, give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great afternoon, a great weekend, and Lord willing, we'll see you again here next Sabbath. And we will continue on this journey 2 weeks from today. For those of you who know him and have an interest, Pastor John McLarty will be here, and he will be our speaker that day. So John's been kind of our counselor, supervising pastor from up north for 11 years. And so we'll be glad to have him here in our midst again. So you're especially invited to come and hook up with John that week. So blessings to you. Have a great day. Of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle.